Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Microcap News on Tuesday, 19th August, isn't it? Yeah, 2025. It's a bit boring at the moment, isn't it? There's not a lot of news coming out. And one of the mistakes I've made in the past is just selling something out of boredom. And you should never do this, really. I've sold out of boredom several times and lost out massively. In fact, one of them was a 10-bagger, I think, a while back. When it was like, what was it? No, two, actually. One was Argo Blockchain a long time ago when I was investing into rubbish companies, you know, just on hype. And I sold at that. It did a 3,000% return about 3 months after I sold out. Just kind of boredom. It wasn't, Bitcoin price was going up. Argo Blockchain wasn't. I thought, that's obviously not correlated, is it? And this is before they got into debts and all that stuff, you know. I think another one was Audio Boom, actually. I was going on about that for years and years because I was doing podcasts, of course. I thought, everyone's doing podcasts. It's sort of 10 bagged, and this was many years back. And I just got out because I was bored with it. It just was going up and down in the range for ages. So be careful. You know, as Charlie Munger once said, the big money is not in the buying and the selling, but in the waiting. And he said, high returns don't actually require high effort. Now, there is effort, you know, in this sort of mental way, isn't it? Where you have to sort of just do nothing. It's hard. As humans, I don't know how many cells or how many sort of synapses are flashing on and off, moving around. But we, as humans, you know, we want to do something. Especially in the stock market, you want to buy something, you want to sell something, you want to do something, you know? So it's very easy to do something rather than not do something. But he said, Munger said, the big money is not in the buying and selling, but in the waiting. This sentiment, though perhaps not widely cited as some of Buffett's lines, holds tremendous weight in the investment world for several reasons. The power of compounding, patience pays off. Munger's statements highlights the magic of compounding. Time is a powerful factor in the growth of investments. As investments begin to yield returns, those returns can be reinvested, potentially leading to exponential growth over time. But this concept isn't just mathematical. It requires the discipline of patience. And that's the thing. The reason why some investors are better than others is just through discipline. That's it. Everyone has access to the same information, pretty much, you know, all private investors. But some people will have, you know, the discipline of patience. If a company is performing, I don't mean holding companies that, you know, I'm obviously got to make a distinction here. Companies that are loss-making, burning lots of cash, and we need to raise funds again somewhere down the line, and the share price is just tanking, that's not patience. That's more obsession, almost brainwashed. I've seen people like that just holding certain, you know, pre-revenue loss-making stocks, just thinking it'll be the next 10-bagger because they just think it is. And you think, no, you've lost about 150%. Obviously, that's impossible. But you've lost about 80% in the last 3 years and they're still, you know, banging on about it on social media. Now, that's delusion, essentially. But if a company's operations are improving, you know, fundamentally the business, because the share price sometimes, especially in you know, summer markets like we are now with low liquidity, it can have little relevance or correlation to the business itself, underlying business. The business can be doing well. You could have some people just taking the money off the table for some reason and it'll move the share price down. Now, the business could be improving, but the share price could be going down. But as long as you focus on, you know, like I said, the revenue, the profit, all that, the good valuation, and those are the good valuation, there's growth in revenue, growth in profits, and it's looking good, and the share price can move around a bit. Now, the only reason why you should worry in those situations is if you're overexposed. If you're not overexposed, what's the problem? You know, you can, you know, wait until momentum comes back in and buy a bit more, maybe even buy a bit more at below where you originally bought it at. If it's a small word but big meaning, if the fundamentals are improving. That can't be stated enough. Now, I say this on here, this is a memo to myself. I'm not just saying, this is what you should do. This is what I have to reinforce in my head, because you realise, as a human, it's so easy to make up new rules for yourselves. Think, oh, yeah, no, I've sold that because of this, because I saw this, or this macro reason. And I've done that many times. I still do it. And I think, I just broke one of my rules there. The company was improving, and I sold because I was essentially bored. Oh, I need to do something. just waiting sometimes. You know, you can find, of course, share prices go up and down. And many people have bought, you know, multi-baggers. They've never actually, you know, materialised that profit or crystallised that profit because they've sold way too early. You know, the stocks have gone to, I've known quite a few people. In fact, some of the members of my club once, someone bought, and I think it was Next. They bought Next. It's something like, well, it's done many 1,000% Next. But, I mean, they bought it, you know, when it first came to the market. And they made, like, 40% profit on it. They're very happy with that. And 40%, if you compound that every year, that's very good. But it's very hard to find, you know, stocks to constantly do 40% all the time. It's a lot easier to hold one stock that does, like, 4,000%. And you think, that's just going well, you know, ups and downs. Now, if you started off with a big chunk of your portfolio in that, you probably would be scared out of the position. If you start quite smallish, then it doesn't matter. It keeps going up and up and up. Ooh, it gets to the point where it is quite big. But then I probably, you know, you'd know more about the business, especially something like Next that's consistently improved time after time. Anyway, so I'm trying to convince myself and you, if you're along for the ride, that Don't get bored of positions because they're going sideways in these markets, or even maybe drifting down a bit in these markets. As long as you're not overexposed, you know, because these markets and their volatility, their sort of liquidity, have little relevance to what's actually going on with the underlying business. You know, that's what I'm trying to convince myself anyway. But it's true; it's absolutely true. I mean, you'll see odd movements. Like today, I think pretty much. How many stocks do I hold? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And I'd say about 10 of them are down this morning. And this afternoon it all changed around, or the mid-afternoon it all changed around. Then I've got about 6 of them down now. But you think, what's going on? You know, saying that, last few weeks have been very good, but some of them have rallied very strongly. So you expect pullbacks. But I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? When they go up for a little bit, you expect them to keep going up. And then when you get that sort of the red day, you know, the red day where you look around and everything seems to be okay apart from your own stocks. You're thinking, what the heck is going on? In fact, that's not true today. It's quite a few stocks down. Like I said, sometimes you can get to jitters in the market. When there's low liquidity, people sell and it'll take stocks down. So, just patience. I mean, I think the thing that helps me a lot is when I think about a company, do some research on a company and you know, read about them, and they have certain, you know, operational efficiencies going on, they're launching certain products that they know is going to do well, or they're into certain stores, or they've got things happening, it's going to happen. You think, okay, where will this company be in 2-3 years' time? And if it's a startup, sort of, maybe they acquired a business and they're rolling out stores, whatever they're doing, you think, well, if this can do a lot better, you know, a lot better than it is now, and it's relatively cheap now. So why should I sell? And the reason why you sell is because of boredom, essentially. Or the stock is drifting. You know, it's not doing anything. So there we are. If you're a good company, you know, if it's doing well, hold on to it, especially in these summer months where it's a little bit of a, you know, erratic movement, unpredictable movement in the share price. You know, jiggles about a bit, up and down a bit. Then it goes down, up, down, down, down. What's going on? Yeah, so there we are. Is there any macro news today? I didn't really see any. The fact that I'm not didn't see any, maybe thinks I shouldn't. There's a bit here. People buying less fast food as grocery prices remain high. Apparently, casual and fast food restaurants have seen a 6% drop in customers over the 3 months to mid-July compared to last summer, research from World Panel has found. but shoppers were still buying branded groceries instead of swapping for cheaper own brand alternatives. Oh, really? That's interesting, isn't it? Strength of the brand, isn't it? I don't really care about brand, do you? I mean, if it's a mark of quality, I do. But if you can get something, you know, that tastes nicer and or tastes the same for the same price. So, I mean, that's why Aldi's and Lidl have flourished, haven't they? Because people, as long as their packaging is very similar and the name is quite similar to the original brand, that's even more convincing, isn't it? Rather than Colin the cat and caterpillar, you have Kevin the caterpillar. I mean, it's fine. It's a cake. It's a caterpillar-shaped cake. Probably tastes like cake. I don't care if it's not from Marks Spencer's. Okay, let's have a little look at the markets. Let's go to the markets. Ooh, and the market doesn't like that. The market, I heard someone on CNBC the other day. Ooh, the market obviously doesn't like this. Or the market wants this. It's not the market. The market is not a creature. Sometimes feels like it. But it's just a conglomeration of humans, isn't it? And sentiment. That's how it works. That's why there is big discrepancy. That's why the market isn't efficient. Because it's a collective that overreacts, you know, to the downside and to the upside. And so when it goes to the downside, you realise something's very cheap there. And then you can get a bargain. And then, of course, conversely, it always reacts to the upside more. The bull market always goes way beyond where valuations, you know, are sort of sane. But people keep buying because the market's going up. People don't care. I don't care. I'm just going to keep buying. The market's going up. If it keeps going up, I keep buying. Simple as that. Anyway, let's look at the market. I'm carried away here. Let's start. Oh, I'll do something a bit different here. Let's start alphabetically, shall we? A, the all share, the FTSE all share, is up a third of 1%, exactly 0.33% to 4975. The FTSE AIM all share is up a fifth of 1% to 762. B, Brent crude, it's up to tenth of 1%, $66.19 a barrel. B for Bitcoin, it's down actually 2% today, 113. I do think there's something odd there. Maybe that's the rally. You know, everyone was talking bullishly about Bitcoin. Everyone was buying Bitcoin. All these Bitcoin treasury companies were accumulating Bitcoin. If that's the case, and there's a hard supply on this, why isn't it going higher? You know, Trump is pro Bitcoin. The American government's pro Bitcoin. Why is it dropping here? Now, the recent bounce it had, it's 113 here. It recently bounced off 112,000. If it doesn't hold there, then it could be going lower because there's obviously previous support there, which was in pretty much the 3rd of August, 2nd of August, and also previous resistance was that level on the 22nd of May. So it hit that and came back. Then it broke it in July and went up to 120, then came back down to 112, then went up to 123, and now it's heading back to 112. So if it can't hold that, or if it holds a little bit above that, that's a good sign because it's a higher low. Bring me a high hello, yeah. Who's that? Stevie Winwood. Isn't it funny if some people's name is Stephen? Stevie Fry. Stephen Fry. Stephen Wonder. Just doesn't sound right, does it? Okay, a D. Dow Jones, industrial average. It's a fifth of 1% up to 45,000. It's at 45,000, everyone. That's an all-time high, pretty much. Or did do that. Well, it's 45,019. And that's, I think, equaling an all-time high. Yeah, in fact, this previous high literally back in December and in January. The Dixie, that's a dollar index, of course. It's flat, pretty much, 98.123. Now, it's had a recent low, it's over a 5-year low, pretty much. Bounced off that low. What are you talking about? No. My dog's in the office, and she's growling at something outside, some invisible squirrel. 96.64, yeah, 96 was 0.6 was the low. It's now at 98, so it's bounced off that low. GB2, this is the 2-year yield, government bond yield, it's up again. Government bonds are up. That's going to hurt Rachel Reeves. I mean, it is down from a recent high. It did hit sort of, where is it? Back 5.5 back in July 23. So it's not too bad. But it's a recent low was 3.7. It's now 3.9. The 10-year yield is up 0.4%, 4.7, and the 30-year is at a high. As high as it's been since 1998. A pound will buy you €1.15, and it'll buy you $1.35. Gold is down at 31% to 3,366. Copper, Dr. Copper, Dr. Copper. I do apologise for that. I don't know why I have to say that. Almost like it doesn't make any sense, does it? He's, you know, well, they call it Dr. Copper, but I'm saying it like he's a pirate. I wonder if pirates had doctors. I don't suppose they did, do they? Because what would be the highest qualification level of a pirate? They must have someone, a medic or something, pirates, when they went to sea. There's someone sorting people out to get ill. I don't think they get seasickness, would they? Because, you know, if you're a pirate and seasick, you wouldn't be a good pirate, would you? So I'm a landlubber. I'm a pirate of the land. I won't go on boats, no. Don't like that. Get seasick. But I suppose there are low qualifications amongst pirates, isn't there? Because they're all sort of criminals, I suppose. Would you get, you know, a qualified doctor defecting to become a pirate? I don't suppose so. Well, I suppose you get bored. I mean, Harry Hill went from being a doctor to a comedian. I suppose, you know, it's not unimaginable. NASDAQ, down 1.11% to 21,391. Is it? The Dow Jones up. The FTSE, 250. It's up 0.4%, 21,840. The FTSE, 350, up 0.35% to 5,033. The FTSE, fledgling. I'm fledgling. It's up 0.6%, 13,363. The Russell, 2,000. Russell, down to 31%, 2,087. The small cap indices is up a fifth of 1%, 7218. And the S&P 500 is down a third of 1%, exactly that, 0.33%, to 6427. Are we seeing a rollover in American indices? And finally, all-time high, ring that bell, ladies and gentlemen. It's a FTSE 100, 9,188. Do you know in America they're so enthusiastic, people have hats with Dow 40,000 on it, Dow 45,000. And the way they ring the bell, they celebrate that on telly. I love that. That's one thing they get right. They're celebrating, you know, companies either listing on the stock market, which is a big thing. You know, it's like a company has grown their business to the point now where they're offering up a share of the business to the public, raising more money to grow even further, you know? It's like a massive milestone. It should be celebrated because that company's gone through expansion to the point where it's employing lots of people. Those people are paying their bills, they're paying their mortgages, going on holidays, you know, looking after the kids, buying houses. It's a genuine success story. Should be celebrated. So they ring that bell, you know, in the morning and the afternoon. What do we do in the UK? We need to start with that. We need to have a channel dedicated to the stock market. The British stock market will ring the bells and all that stuff and just celebrate it. I don't know, we're just going to raise it to the awareness in people's eyes because 60% of Americans are invested in the stock market. Over years, less than half of that. And you can see why the capital markets are so deep and people want to be there. Okay, let's go to the... I did four yesterday, didn't cover them. Couldn't be bothered, got tired. I got really bored. So I'll cover three today. This is the microcap database. Companies sub 300 million market cap, really. The majority are sub 100 million. This study I did. I've done lots of studies of lots of companies. And generally, when I look at companies that perform over the year, 60% of the best performers start off with a market cap below 100 million. Of course, there are 40% or above that. But just by looking at, you know, that 60%, you're cutting out a lot of noise, a lot of companies you have to follow, and it's hard work to follow all those companies. So you think, well, let's look on the area where they, you know, produce the most amount of, you know, multi-baggers, and that's 700 million. But in this study I did recently about companies that did sort of 10 baggers, minimum requirement was 10 baggers. Four out of seven companies were sub 100 million. There's two that were, you know, between 100 and 200 million, and there's one between 200 and 300. So I do cover, if they look promising, cover companies up to 300 million, but the majority 100 million. Now, for the Morningstar database, this is basically a filter system with lots of detailed information. We can see if these companies go on to be one of these, you know, 10 baggers or potentially multi-baggers. They have to be commercial. That means generating revenue, because there's plenty of companies out there where people just ramp on social media and bulletin boards. Oh, it's going to be a 10 bagger. Yes. Okay, what does it do? Well, it's going to do this. Oh, it doesn't earn any money yet. No, doesn't earn any money. It just makes a loss. Let's be honest. Anyone can say they can be a 10-bagger. You know, there's plenty of one-man bands around the country who believe they've got the next 10-bagger on their hands. There's a superb product they've got. But if they sell what they've got or the service they're providing, it's all a pie in the sky, isn't it? It's all just an idea. It's not a business. It's an idea. There are companies that are listed that only have ideas, pretty much. Stories are very powerful things. Cambridge Nutritional Sciences. So this is CNSL, its ticker. Final results today. They are a specialist medical diagnosis company focused on industry-leading health and nutrition products. Now, they were called, I think, Omega Diagnostics. They've decided to put the Cambridge in there because it adds a bit more gravitas, doesn't it? Market cap at 4 pence, pretty much. In fact, the broker has downgraded the target price here. I've got to log in, I'll change that. So the broker's target price was 10 pence, it's now gone to 9 pence. But they are a four pence, a market cap of 8.3 million, enterprise value of 3.5. So they've got a decent amount of cash. They've got about 4.86 of cash, 4.86 million, about 123K of debt. So let's have a look here. 2025 results. Revenue down 15% to 8.33 million from 9.77. Net profit of 1.57 million versus a net loss of 328K. Well, you're pretty, that's quite good, isn't it? Hang on a sec. It's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a sting in the tail here. Or twist, I should say. Is it a twist or sting? I don't know. Net cash up 62% to 4.75 million versus 2.92. Oh, it's looking better. Free cash inflow of 2.2 million versus 598K. Now, this may seem like a positive performance, but beware, these numbers have benefited from a £2.5 million of exceptional income recognised as a result of a successful outcome from the Department of Health and Social Care, I think it is, DHCS settlement. There was this thing about, wasn't it, after COVID, Omega Diagnostics, and the government suing them for, I don't know, production or something, or whatever it is, and then they went to sue them back, and they settled. So essentially, they got 2.5 million was that was they got from the Department of Health. It's not going to have to be paid back. So that's now come in as that was held in an account in the balance sheet. So excluding that payment, which is not from operations, you know, it's like, when was this from? From 2022 or something like that? All metrics would have deteriorated. And to be honest, 2026 is not looking like an improvement. Forecasts for 26 are revenue flat at 8.3. So you want to see growth. Small companies should be growth companies. All growth starts with the top line. Net loss of 700K. So they've gone from what? A net profit of 1.57 because they had 2.5 million. They got 700K. Brokers suggest 2026 is a year where CNSL builds their pipeline, which should lead to positive financials in 2027 and beyond. However, the fact that the broker does not have any numbers for 2027 suggests this pipeline is just that. It's a pipeline. Now, potential deals in the pipeline are worth less than the pipe. Because you can't sell potential deals, they don't convert. You can sell the pipe, though. Now, I've been burnt before on companies who've claimed to have a record pipeline. However, a record pipeline does not mean record financials. There's been companies I've seen with stuff in the pipeline forever. And you think, well, you need to get a plumber, a financial plumber in there if they're stuck in the pipeline. On a positive note, due to the DHSC, DH, SC payout, their cash level has been boosted, which means they have net cash of 4.76 million versus a market cap of 8.3. So they have a decent cash runway to improve operations. There's no point considering investment unless financial progress becomes evident, in my opinion. Well, that's next. Nanoco, it's another company, you know, it's got a bit of cash. Trading update here. They do, nanomaterial production and licensing group specializing in the production of patented cadmium free quantum dots. So you've got these free quantum dots. No, sorry, these quantum dots come with free cadmium. Oh, no. The cadmium is not included in these quantum dots. It's the opposite. So cadmium's probably bad, I think. Anyway, they've got the technology. Do you know what? Nanoco's been around for ages. I remember it being the next big thing for ages. Never really proved it. They've released a full-year trading update stating unaudited revenues for $7.6 million, exceeding market expectations. Well, that's good. Previous forecast was for $7.2. But over 6 million of this 7.6 million is ongoing revenue recognition under the Samsung litigation settlement that was announced in 2023. Therefore, non-Samsung revenues around 1.2, 1.5 million. The company intends to dispose, though, of its operating business and IP. So they say, we continue to assess strategic options for the group's operating business with a number of interested parties. The broker believes this and potential lawsuit against LG now. How come these big companies are ripping off small companies? Is where shareholder value lies. So on the 24th of April 2025, the company announced that it was filing a lawsuit against LG Electronics in the US, alleging infringement of Nanoco's patents relating to quantum dot television technology. We believe that the business assets of Nanoco offer significant value to potential acquirers, both in terms of legacy IP enforcement. Now, I tried to invest in operating businesses that are growing and improving. Nano is not doing this, but they hope their assets will help some other company do this. Their IP may be more valuable to another company than Nano, but for me, I have no idea how much it's worth and how much value can be unlocked. So, therefore, I have no interest in this company. And finally, Tribal Group. These are the interim results for the 30th of the 6th, 2025. They say they are, TRB is ticker, a pioneering world leader in education software and services. Its portfolio includes student information systems, a broad range of educational services covering quality assurances, peer review, benchmarking and improvement, and student surveys that provide leading educational benchmarks for student experience. There we are. So the market cap at 58 pence, what are they at the moment? TRB. They are 53 pence. Shot up today to 64 pence. But, yeah, market cap is at 58 pence. It's 124 million. 126, in fact, it's less than that now. 126 million enterprise value, so they had 8 million debt. Net debt now is come down to 3.65, pretty much. TRB's H1 2025 results were an improvement on H1 2024, especially profit and net debt. So revenue flat at 45.3 million versus 45. Net profit up 189% to 3.9 million versus 1.4 million. Net debt improved to 3.65 million versus 10 million. Net debt. It's down quite a bit there. And free cash outflow reduced to 433K from 1.56. They also state the board is increasingly positive about delivering full year results ahead of current market expectations. So 2025 forecasts are as such. Revenue flat again, 90 million. Net profit growth of 26% to 6.9 million at 47 pence a share. Puts them on a PE of 16. Revenue up 2% of 26 is your 26 forecast, is 226 forecast. So revenue is expected to grow by 2% to 92 million. Net profit growth of 30% to 9 million. At 47 pence a share, puts on a P12, good value. And evident this company is improving on an efficiency level. The only concern is that the top line is not really growing. But nevertheless, profit is, and its valuation is decent. It has shot up today. When I wrote this earlier on, it was at 47 pence a share. They're now at what, 53. So it's not a huge amount of difference, but still worth looking at, I think, because they are improving. I said they are getting better. And so that's tribal group. They've got a cost efficiency program going on, efficiency drive, I mean. And so I think it's worth a look. But it did show up today and come back down. Obviously, big volume today, was it? Yeah, average volume is 744,000 shares. And today they did 924,000 shares. So, yeah, bit of volume there. But you get that, exaggerated moves on results days. But, yeah, it seemed to be improving. That's TRB. So of the three today, that's the pick of the day. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, it's been quiet, but it's heating up. Results season's coming through because I can see on the Microcap League that many companies are in orange. That means they have results out within the next 30 days. And there's one or two in red, which means results out in the next 7 days. So, by the way, if you want to check out those companies, just go to sharepickers.com. Get 25% off. I mean, is it less than 10 days left or 12 days left of 25% off for the first year? If you want to get 25% off for life, then all you have to do is buy the book. And I'm sure it'll provide you some value. You can get 15% off that at Amazon, and you get 25% off for life during the Sharepickers Investment Club. How much would that be? Well, listen, you're basically getting 50 quid off membership to the club. And the book is only £15.39. So you're getting your money back there pretty much. And the book and a wealth of knowledge. And all for the cost of, what, £2.87 a week, I think it is, which is less than the price of a latte. Less than the price of a battered jumbo sausage from the chippy. So check it out if you want to become a member. Go to sharepickers.com, click on the About. I much appreciate us. And it would, you know, well, it'll help me and you, to be honest. Thanks a lot. Speak to you tomorrow. Muchos. Appreciators.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.